Today the Word of God brings us right to the heart of the question of vocation. The Gospel, the Archangel Gabriel goes to a very specific town from where the Apostle Barnabas doubted any good could come, to a specific teenage girl named Mary, betrothed to a particular man called Joseph. It was not random in the least. This young girl was to receive the greatest vocation any human being ever had, to become the mother not only of the long-awaited Messiah, but the mother of God. Understandably, even though she had found favor with God, even though she had been filled with grace and full of God since her conception, she was still afraid not only of the messenger, but of the mission. That anxiety came out in the question, "How can this be, since I will have no relations with a man?" Such a question would have made no sense at all if she had been betrothed to St. Joseph in the ordinary way, because then she, as anyone, would have known how she would conceive a child. Her question is intelligible only if, as the Church teaches, she had taken a vow of perpetual virginity to God and was wondering how, against the laws of biology, she would be able to conceive while maintaining that vow. After God's messenger explained to her mysteriously how it would come about by the power of the Holy Spirit, she responded with prompt faith and dedication to the plan of God. "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." Some 1,875 years later, that handmaid of the Lord, that woman full of grace, was still at the Lord's service. This time it was she, rather than the Archangel Gabriel, who was sent by God to a town called Lourdes, to a virgin of the house of François and Louise Soubirous. And the virgin's name was Marie Bernard, nicknamed Little Bernard, Bernadette. Bernadette had received no education, couldn't read or write, for that reason had not yet made her first communion because she couldn't read or study the catechism. The Soubirous family was so poor that in order to avoid homelessness, they were living in an old damp dungeon that we will see and visit later on in our pilgrimage. On the day Mary first appeared to her, she had gone to a cave that served basically as the city dump in order to try to find some twigs and branches that might serve as firewood to keep them warm on a cold, wintry day at the foot of the Pyrenees. Over the course of 18 visits, the handmaid of the Lord would reveal to this humble handmaid, would reveal to St. Bernadette what mission God was entrusting to her. St. Bernadette, this other teenage girl, was an unlikely candidate for the mission, to go to her pastor, Father Perimal, to the bishop, to the civil authority, and essentially to the world, and ask for a church to be built where the city dump was. But as St. Paul reminds us in today's first reading, that's the way God normally works. "Consider your own calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Rather, God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly and despised of the world, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something, so that no one might boast before God." This is what happened, for example, with St. Juan Diego, a 57-year-old man in 1531 who used to shuffle with his head down 15 miles each way to Mass on Saturdays, to whom Our Lady appeared and asked for a teocalli, a temple to be built in Guadalupe. This is what happened with the three young shepherd children in Fatima, where the Blessed Virgin asked them to pray for the conversion of sinners. This is what happened with St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, as we'll hear later on today, who was a real-life Cinderella story, mistreated by the family that had taken her and her mom in after her dad had died, and even not highly respected in her own convent. This is what happened with St. John Vianney, who had really received no education and he had to study for the priesthood in Latin, such that he was thrown out of the seminary 3 times because he couldn't even understand the questions they were asking him on the exams. This is what happened with the apostles. St. Peter's first words were, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinner." St. Matthew was a despised tax collector, a public sinner. That's what happened with the prophet Isaiah, who used foul language. With the prophet Jeremiah, who considered himself too young. With Gideon, who was the least of his family. In his family, the least of his tribe. In his tribe, the least of all the tribes in Israel. God chooses the weak, as St. Paul says, and makes them strong in bearing witness to Him. God chose St. Bernadette and strengthen her with His own power to fulfill the mission He sent Our Lady to reveal to her. There's a lot we could ponder about St. Bernadette that can help us in turn fulfill the mission God has given us in our loneliness, so that we might become holy disciples and ardent apostles, going to Him and being His faithful instruments to bring others to Him. We could focus on her lowliness, her humility, that never let the apparitions go to her head or think herself someone more special or more loved than others. We could concentrate on her patience, as she would be asked the same questions thousands of times, often by people not seeking to grow in faith, but people just coming to say, "I'm at the seer of Lourdes," and name drop thereafter. We could ponder her capacity to suffer with faith, as she did for most of her life, but especially her last years in this convent when she was in the infirmary, spitting up blood. We could certainly pay attention to her charity, shown in her care for so many other sick sisters in this infirmary here. But I'd like to ponder 3 staples of her life that are meant to be staples of our Christian life. She lived them to a beautiful and heroic degree. She intercedes for us so that we likewise might be able to live them well. The first is the importance of really praying the little things of our faith. Something she learned directly from Our Lady, lived, and tried to pass on to others. You know, the first time she met Our Lady, February 11th, 1858, she says, "I tried to make the sign of the cross, but I couldn't. My hand fell. I became afraid because I couldn't do it." The vision, she didn't really know how to describe the beautiful lady at this time. The vision made the sign of the cross, and I tried to make it myself, and then I could. And as soon as I had made it, I became calm. Bernadette had been prevented from making the sign of the cross until she had seen Our Lady do it. And on subsequent appearances, Bernadette would make the sign of the cross together with Mary and tried to imitate precisely how Mary made it, with profound reverence and recollection. After the apparitions, when Bernadette was subjected to endless lines of interviews from people seeking to get her to divulge all that Mary had revealed to her, she would often be reticent about many of the details. She would readily respond, however, when her interrogators asked her to show them how Our Lady demonstrated to make the sign of the cross. When she came here to Nevers, Bernadette continued to make the sign of the cross as Mary had taught her. It often brought other sisters, accustomed to making the sign of the cross routinely and without much thought, to conversion. One of the sisters who was with her here said, "The way in which she made the sign of the cross indicated that she was full of the spirit of faith. She couldn't stand to see others make it poorly. One day when I had made it very negligently, she asked me if I had hurt my arm or why I was in a hurry." A young novice, and she cared for the novices here, recalled that Bernadette once politely indicated to her that she had made the sign of the cross poorly. "You should pay attention to it," Bernadette encouraged her, "for making the cross well is important." To another sister who asked what she needed to go to heaven, Bernadette without hesitation said, "Make the sign of the cross well. That is in itself already a great deal. Bernadette sought to make the sign of the cross as she had witnessed Our Lady make it. Slowly, in a sweeping gesture, raising her right hand so that her fingers touched the very top of her forehead, then lowering it to touch her waist, and slowly touching the extreme of her left shoulder, followed by the extreme of her right. She did so entrusting herself to the three persons of the Trinity, whose names she would invoke, while opening herself up to the infinite grace that Christ gained for us on the cross, and at the same time committing herself to embracing her daily cross and following Christ as a new Simon of Cyrene. Pope Benedict, when he went to Lourdes 5 years ago for the 150th anniversary of the apparitions, focused his entire homily on what Bernadette's supposed to teach all of us about these very simple, elemental, fundamental aspects of our faith. He said, "At Lourdes in the School of Mary, pilgrims learn to consider the cross in their own lives in the light of the glorious cross of Christ. In appearing to Bernadette, the first gesture of Mary was precisely the sign of the cross, in silence and without words. And Bernadette imitated her in making also the sign of the cross with a trembling hand. Thus the Virgin gave a first initiation into the essence of Christianity. The sign of the cross is the summit of our faith, and in making it with an attentive heart, we enter into the fullness of the mystery of salvation." St. Bernadette was a fully initiated Christian who grasped the summit of the faith. One of the things that she teaches us is in order to become holy, we don't have to do spectacular or extraordinary things. We have to do the ordinary basic things of our Christian life with great love, faith, and attention. Second, St. Bernadette teaches us something really important about the Holy Eucharist, which she received in this very spot several thousand times. Because she was illiterate and couldn't read her catechism, as I mentioned before, she hadn't made her first Holy Communion by the time the Blessed Virgin started appearing to her when Bernadette was 14. Soon as the people started flocking and coming to the pastor, Father Perimal, in order to ask him if he thought that she was sane, all right, was she a lunatic, all the rest of it, Father Perimal started to get a little embarrassed when this 14-year-old girl, who was entrusted to his own care because she couldn't read, hadn't made her first communion, because the priest is responsible, in a sense, to providing it, and there was no reason why you needed to put all the onus on someone who couldn't read at the time. And so he got his parochial vicar to prepare her verbally for her first communion, and she received it. After she had received Holy Communion, a woman from Lourdes named Mademoiselle Estrade asked her, "What made you happier, Bernadette? Your first Holy Communion or the apparition?" Great question. Bernadette replied, with great wisdom, "The two go together. They can't be compared. The only thing I know is I was happy on both occasions." With her simple wisdom, St. Bernadette points out to us something crucially important. She's famous today because God chose her to be the recipient of Mary's apparitions. But Bernadette was clearly indicating that the gift each of us receives in Holy Communion is just as important. I would say, as a theologian trained in Rome, that it's even more important for us to receive Jesus in Holy Communion than for us to have an apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary for which we would be famous in 155 years. The ordinary things of life are so key. What you're going to receive today is so much more important than what happened to Bernadette and Lourdes on February 11th through July 16th, 1858. A lot of times we can go through the motions, just like we do with the sign of the cross. We can discount this incredible gift. But Bernadette points to just how awesome a privilege it is. Later in life, Saint Bernadette would write about how God had made her great, not so much through the apparitions, but through Himself in Holy Communion. "I was nothing," she said, "and of this nothing God made something great. In Holy Communion, I am heart to heart with Jesus. How sublime is my destiny." How sublime is all our destinies if we receive Jesus with the love and the faith and the simplicity with which Saint Bernadette received Him. That's not something way up here that we can't get to. That's something that the Lord wants to lift us to if we're docile like she was. Third lesson she teaches us is about our deepest hungers and how to do everything simply in union with that desire. Saint Bernadette was told by Our Lady, "I do not promise to make you happy in this life, but in the next." Saint Bernadette experienced much hardship on earth, the poverty of her family, the difficulty she endured in giving witness to the apparition, the misunderstanding she had in the convent, and especially her physical sufferings of tuberculosis and lots of other illnesses that kept her in the infirmary for years. But she endured them all with great hope, because she knew Mary would be faithful to her promise and that she would be happy forever in the next. We too are called by her witness to live with that great hope of heaven, the deep recognition that God wants to make us happy forever with Him in the next. This burning hope doesn't get us to escape from the world. For as Pope Francis wrote 2 months ago in his first encyclical, which I know all of you have read because you're a Catholic, when the Pope writes, we read. As Pope Francis wrote, that the hands, folded in prayer are the same hands that are called to work to transform the world. Prayer is an escapism. A hope for heaven doesn't mean we leave the world behind, but that hope inspires us to try to make of the world ever more God's kingdom without ever becoming of the world. If we learn, as Saint Bernadette did, to convert our sufferings and difficulties into opportunities to unite ourselves with the Lord on the cross, then not only will the anguish of our sufferings decrease, but even they will prepare us for eternal happiness. The same handmaid of the Lord who made this promise to Saint Bernadette hears our prayers when we ask her 53 times a day in the rosary or more, "Pray for us now and at the hour of our death." We should live with that same hope that Mary is praying for us. She prayed for Bernadette so that we might be forever happy. The great means for us to grow in that hunger for heaven is right here in the Eucharist. As we receive the risen body and blood of Jesus, let us ask Saint Bernadette to pray for us that we might receive Jesus with the same love with which she received Him in this chapel, so that we might with her come to experience forever the happiness God wants to give us. Saint Bernadette Subaru, pray for us.